Arwen Hundricks felt his tail curl around one leg as Nathan and Nia entered the interview room. He made a stand as they entered, but Nathan waved his hand and the dark orange tabaxi sat down, the manacles on his wrists clicking against the chain that secured them to the table between them. Beside him was a reedy-looking human man in a fine black suit and large dark-framed glasses. He was short, broad shoulders, and could have been mistaken for a dwarf at a glance. He didn't stand up as Nathan and Ian sat down opposite. Nathan flicked his eyes to the left of them. The wall, of course, wasn't real, and behind it sat Balasar, with a large notebook open on his lap. Behind him stood Chief Sherman, hands linked behind his back. Nathan began, "Mr. Hundricks, do you know why you're here?" Alwyn's eyes flicked over to both of them, and then down at the table.
I should tell you that my legal counsel, Mr. Innitus Knott, has advised me to remain silent for this meeting," he said, sighing slightly.
Innitus gave them a half smile that didn't quite meet his eyes. Nia decided to start.
"I see. Well then, can you tell me why we found a wagon of stolen, illegal and unregistered gold, sound sticks and raw materials on a wagon along with 103 instances of your signature and a company stamp in the same wagon?"
Arwen looked up at Nia and then at Nathan. He shrugged his shoulders, pointing to his mouth, which was clamped closed at this point. Innitus looked at the ceiling for a moment.
"The unregistered material match samples found at a previous raid on a smuggling operation that we broke up in the Southern District."
Arwen looked at the table as Nia continued.
"Persons arrested at the scene confirmed that this shipment, and others like it, were and had been delivered to the Eastern Wilds. They have confirmed in separate interview process that the smuggling involved a handover that, again, we interrupted. We believe that that wagon was set to arrive at the headquarters of your company, Major Illusions Communications. Are we correct in that?"
Nathan looked at Alwyn, who looked at the door and then back at the table.
"Can I take your silence as a signal that our investigation is correct in its assumptions this far?"
Innitus shook his head and tapped the table with his finger. No, I'm sorry, that won't fly. My client's silence is not, I repeat, not an indication of guilt."
Nia smiled and nodded. "There was a lot of gold in that wagon, Arwen, and the one before it, and others that have been picked up. I don't think you need the money. I've seen your office."
Arwen smiled for half a second before glancing at Innitus and then dropping his head again.
"See, I don't understand why your name was all over that wagon, Arwen. Why were you bringing in sound sticks? Why so many? We know that only you can make them in the Eastern Wilds, so where are these ones coming from?"
There was silence for a full minute before Nia spoke again.
"If we believe that MIC is concealing or abetting criminals, then we will have the authority to conduct a full search. If we find anything, it could be linked to you."
Innitus opened his mouth to respond, but Nia turned to look at him. "It's a statement of fact. It's not intent." She turned back to the tabaxi.
"If we were to do that, would we find anything that we shouldn't find there?"
Arwen closed his eyes and sighed, Innitus watching him out of the corner of his eye.
"Is it MIC?
Asked Nathan.
"Is the business not running as it should? Is that why you need the money?"
Arwen looked up and shook his head. Innitus huffed beside him and then placed one hand on the tabaxi's shoulder.
"Sorry, Mr. Knott, can I remind you that any act of physical touch is, in an interview setting, considered coercion in the eyes of Tarthage law," reminded Nathan.
Innitus withdrew his hand, opening his mouth to reply, but again chose not to respond.
"So MIC is doing well?" asked Nathan.
Arwen nodded again, looking sideways at Innitus.
"Okay, so you're not working with anyone you shouldn't be? No criminal elements?"
The tabaxi shook his head.
"Oh, for goodness sake!" Innitus started, slapping his hand against the table. "May I have a moment with my client?"
Nathan and Nia shared a look and then got to their feet and made for the door, letting it clang shut behind them.
"I think he's telling the truth," said Nathan, quickly, the pair of them leaning on the other side of the door.
"With what he's indicated so far."
"You don't think there's a criminal element here?" asked Nia, smiling incredulously. "What else would he be doing other than working with the bad guys?"
"I don't know.
Working with the good guys?"
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
Nathan and Nia sat back down where they had been before, Nia this time setting a slim folder on the table in front of them, one hand resting on it. Alwyn, can you tell me what MIC uses iridium for? Now, I know they use it in sound sticks, but it's also what the Skinwalker murderer has made his sort out of. We know it's really expensive. Only a few people can really afford it, and especially in the quantities that we found in that wagon. Who else can work it and use it like MIC? Asked Nathan. Alwyn looked at Innitus, who gave an almost imperceptible nod, followed by a roll of his eyes. It's really light, and it conducts magic. It's an ore that can be turned to almost anything that uses magic. Nathan nodded, leaning forward slightly as the tabaxi continued. It's in your wagons, your sound sticks, some buildings now. MIC are the biggest workers of it, except the Tarthage military, but even now they get a lot of their base components from us and other businesses in the wilds. The Fairy Fire Corporation has more government contracts than us, though. That's because Helinga Quickheart, she's on their board of directors. He blurted that last part out as Innitus shook his head slightly and sighed again. Nathan smiled as Nia spoke. Do you think that wagon was going to the Fairy Fire Corporation? Their headquarters, Mr. Hundricks. Yeah? Why? Well, because it wasn't coming to MIC. That's not how we do business. Innitus coughed again and Alwyn fell silent. Let me take you back to last night. Where were you, Mr. Hundricks? This isn't to do with the case, Mr. Knott, said Nathan quickly. Alwyn looked from his lawyer to Nia and then Nathan. I don't know what you mean. It's a simple question, Alwyn. Where were you last night? I was at work. You don't sound sure. I was at work. There are loads of people who can tell you that. I was there until 10, maybe 11 at night. Ah, we know. We interviewed some of your staff after we arrested you earlier. Can you tell me why, then, the letters MIC were found at a crime scene that night? Alwyn's eyes widened as he bit his lip. My client is exercising his right to silence, said Innitus, jumping in. Is he? Alwyn nodded at the table. Nia opened the file and produced a series of intricate drawings of Gruerig Gromalog's murder scene. It was skinned with an iridium blade. The night before, we found a wagon of the stuff with your name all over it. You've said that wagon could have been someone else's. Can you tell me who else might have done this? She slid the pictures under Alwyn's nose, one by one. How could he not take a look? The skinless, bloody corpse spread eagle on the table. The skin had been fixed to the ceiling, staring down at the corpse in the same position, like a grotesque mirror image. Both drawings showed the walls decorated with election campaign posters, stuck to the walls with thick blood. The third drawing was a close-up, MIC spelt out in blood. The wood had chipped on the eye, and a splinter of a fingernail was visible in the etching. Alwyn gasped and began breathing heavily. He looked up at Innitus, who stared back. A man was murdered last night, and you're our only lead. Nathan paused, counting down from 10 in his head. No one said a thing as Alwyn looked down at the pictures. It's not me. It's not MIC. Alwyn, can I fuck you, Innitus? We're doing what's right. I don't even know what the fuck is going on. And now they think I murdered someone. Or we're smugglers now. My client is going to exercise his right to silence. Is he? Asked Nathan. Are you, Alwyn? What happens to MIC if you have to stand trial? Everyone out there wants a head. Are you offering? Arwen slumped back in his seat, shaking his head and trembling. No, I'm not offering. I don't even know what to say. And how can you, Innitus? He shook his head. What's their angle on you? It's shiny, I bet. Platinum? Lots of it, huh? Innitus pursed his lips. Tell us what you know, Arwen. We can help. Look at me. We will help you. They stared at each other before Arwen nodded back. We don't know what they do with the iridium. I think it's a cover. If someone finds you with 1,000 platinums worth of unregistered iridium, what do they care about soundsticks or gold or whatever else? Nathan nodded, and behind the false wall, Balasar had begun to write. Who's they? Asked Nia. Well, at first, it was just people, smart people. They said they were working with a third party, a bank in the Grand Palisade that needed to, transfer capital earned through sanctioned means. You're talking about money laundering, disguising where money earned through illegal means is coming from. Innitus had gone white as Arwen looked from him to the watch and nodded. For who? Asked Nia quickly. We don't know. We never knew. I never wanted to in case... Arwen gestured to the manacles on his wrist. Nathan nodded and pressed on. So did you think it was illegal when you started? Oh, of course not. They said that companies who engage in this activity, and there are a lot, so they said, they're privy to special access to government officials, people who set policy and laws. Nia exhaled. Which bank? The bank. The government. That shut everyone up. Mr. Hendricks, are you saying that the Central Tarthage government offered you special access to policymaking if you helped them launder gold from illegal revenue streams? Arwen shook his head. No, not the whole government, just a few interested parties. Which were? Soon after the deal was struck, which was? About a year ago, when the whole election cycle started, around then. Anyway, when the gold began moving, we were contacted by two parties involved in the Southern District Chief Council Advisor elections. I'm assuming Rurik Grol Malog was one of those parties. Arwen nodded. Which one was the other one? Nathan asked, sure he knew the answer already. Hallengr. Hallengr Quickheart. Nathan smiled and looked at the table before snapping up his eyes to look at Arwen Hendricks. Innitus nodded slowly beside him. You'd say that in court? The tabaxi nodded firmly. Check our records. He stared at Nathan, nodding slowly again. Right, let's stretch our legs. Mr. Hendricks, you will remain in our custody until we either charge you or we release you, citing lack of evidence within the next 24 hours. Nia gathered the drawings and went back to her file before standing up along with Nathan. They exited the room and shut the door behind them. He doesn't know we already have the financial records, does he? Asked Nathan. They're big. It'd take time to go through everything, but at least now we have a date. And who do we know that hates politicians and the magic industry? Nia smiled and nodded. I had a trusted party drop them at the hospital while we were sweating him. You should go and say hi, said Nia. Nathan smiled and began walking back towards their office.
This has been Tales of Tarthage. This episode was written and edited by Samuel Bradley. The title music was Who Am I to Complain by Alec Michael Wilson. Extra sounds were provided by Zapsplat.com. This was a Starter Set Studio production.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know, play D&D, and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amaran. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like bad movies?
Do you find yourself defending bad movies, saying things like, well, the soundtrack was okay, or the costumes were pretty fun?
From the previous hosts of It's Not That Bad podcast, we bring you Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, from Simone LaRue and Chad Ekovitz.
Every week, we review two movies that did not do well critically, but we say, hey, there are some nice things about them. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes was wrong.
Maybe they're all fools, and you should watch these movies regardless. We'll also talk about scenes that could have saved it, and we'll often refer to Simone's cats because they're amazing. And adorable, and we love them.
And at the end of each review, we will tell you whether we would watch this movie again, or in what circumstances we would recommend you watch this movie.
So, join us on July 9th for the first drop of our main episode, and then 2 days later for our drop of our minisodes.
And on Robots Radio Podcast Network. Come see us on July 9th. We love you so much already. Bye!
Bye.